From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid has one of the toughest jobs in Washington. Republicans control the White House and hold daunting majorities in Congress. As if that weren't enough, Reid has also tried to unify Senate Democrats at a time of turmoil inside the party. But with public support of Iraq dropping along with the president's approval ratings, Reid's job may be getting easier. The question remains, can he help Democrats regain control of Congress? We recently spoke with Senator Reid's Republican counterpart, Majority Leader Bill Frist, about the current state of his party. Yesterday, Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada joined me in our New York studios to do the same. We began by talking about immigration. At the same time the senator and I were sitting down, the Senate Judiciary Committee began consideration of several controversial immigration proposals. Senator Reid believes the issue of border security is only part of a larger crisis that has millions of undocumented workers living in the shadows of the U.S. economy.
I'm in favor of border security. But being in favor of border security does not take away from the fact that we have a problem that is more difficult, and that is we have 11 million people in our country today who are undocumented. So let's start with border security. But let's move on to a temporary guest worker program. That is not only for agriculture, but it's for the people of Las Vegas, who have thousands of people they need to work in these hotels that they're having trouble finding people to do those jobs. Let's be realistic, Ed. We're not going to deport 11 million people. So what I'm saying is let's deal with them. Let's give them a path to legalization. And so people saying, oh, you mean it's amnesty? No, it's not amnesty. What we want is to make sure that these people are not criminals, haven't been committing any crimes. They have long-term jobs. They're paying taxes. They read and speak English. That's what we want.
What do you tell the guy in middle America who says, look, this problem has come to the fore now, because we're close to the midterm election, it becomes a political concern and not a concern of border security or economics or anything else, that you guys have missed the boat on dealing with this?
Whoever says this is right. President Bush, when he was elected, went down 5.5 years ago, and one of his first meetings was with President Fox. And he said, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to deal with the problem of immigration. And that's the last we heard of it. But the fact that nothing's been done does not mean that something shouldn't be done now.
When you look at the concern that America has in terms of balancing the rights of Americans and, as you suggest, bringing in workers who really are becoming the foundation of the economy we know today, how do you make that balance appropriate for both sides?
We have to make sure that, first of all, and the one reason I've so objected to what the Republican-dominated Congress has been doing is nothing. They've limited the time we can have public hearings on immigration to just a few days. We should be having hearings lasting weeks so that we can look at the 11 million people, how we're going to handle it, how we're going to do a guest worker program, what we're going to do to increase our border security. But this administration and this Republican-dominated Congress is saying, no, we're not going to do that. Senator Frist said if the committee doesn't report out a bill after having 3 days of hearings, if they don't report a bill out, I'm going to put one on the floor myself dealing just with border security. What kind of justice is that?
Let me move you on to another political issue. If some suggest that the presidency of the United States is the hardest job, others will suggest that you may have the second hardest job in America, and that is being the Senate Minority Leader. How has that been for you?
It's been challenging, but it's also been invigorating. You know, I know what it is to step into a ring and be the underdog. But you know, whenever the few fights that I had in the ring and otherwise, they were always fair fights. So I don't mind that, being an underdog. And I think it's helped our caucus bond together. There's only 45 of us compared to 55 Republicans. But we decided that we were going to take on the president on Social Security. We believed it was wrong for him to try to privatize Social Security. And it was a fight that was fair. I knew what the size of that ring was going to be. I knew that we were middleweights fighting heavyweights. But we took them on, and we won that fight because we worked harder and we worked smarter. I feel the same way about what's going on in the rest of this disjointed administration we call President Bush's administration. I mean, it's Orwellian, Ed. His Clear Skies Initiative, polluted our skies. His Healthy Forest Initiative is ruining our forests. His Leave No Child Behind School Initiative is leaving children behind. But I understand that now, and I think the American people are also understanding that they have been misled, dangerously misled, and this administration is incompetent, dangerously incompetent.
There are those who have suggested of late that historically, history will show this to be one of the most failed administrations that we've seen in this country's history. Do you believe that to be the case?
Ed, for a while I said that this is the worst president since Millard Fillmore, but I've changed my view. I believe he's the worst.
Do you really?
I do. I've written a history book. I've studied history, and I believe this is a failed administration. It has hurt our country. It's hurt our standing in the world community. I'm so disappointed in what I think could have been.
Let's talk about disappointment on your side of the aisle. There are a lot of voters who are apathetic to both parties. And I've talked to a lot of lifelong Democrats who are disappointed that there's no sense of direction from their party, particularly when you suggest a president is as down as this one. They don't hear a clarion call from Democrats.
I believe that the House and the Senate being dominated by Republicans, we've done pretty well. And we have an obligation to the people of this country to stop bad things, and we've done that. But we also have an obligation to this country to propound a message of hope and responsibility. And I think we've done very well doing that. We've talked about ethics that mean something, honest leadership, open government. We believe in real security, not only what's going on in Iraq, but here at home.
Do you think that resonates with most people today?
I believe that the message is beginning to resonate, yes. I believe it is because, for example, I feel good coming here to New York. I said to my wife yesterday, I said, you know, I feel okay because I've had three cab drivers recognize me and say nice things about me. Keep fighting. Give them hell, Harry. So our message, I think, is getting through.
We heard so much surrounding the issue of race in this country after Katrina. I'm curious what you think America needs to do, not only to deal with the ills of Katrina, but the ills we still suffer in this country with intolerance of race.
I have trouble taking from my mind the huddled masses I saw on television after the natural disaster hit that was compounded by a man-made disaster, the way this administration handled Katrina. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, and the middle class is being squeezed. And as a result of that, people of color are being taken down every day that we speak. And that's really not right. What we need to do is recognize that education should not be for those only who have rich parents. Education should be for everyone. Understand that this administration, in their proposed budget for 2007, cut 43 programs that would help people without means.
How do you take it beyond rhetoric, though, Senator, on both sides of the aisle? Because I lived in D.C. and have covered politics for many, many years now. I've heard a lot of this, yet I see very little movement, quite frankly, when it comes to race in this country.
We have to continue to fight the fight. That, you know, I'm no kid myself, and I've seen. I know what open housing was. I was in the Nevada State Legislature. We had an open housing law, and I could still practice law. And I had the first case in open housing where someone went to rent an apartment, and the woman said, we don't rent to ends. And I filed a lawsuit, and we were able, because of a law we passed, mm-hmm. to take care of that problem. We're doing better. We're not doing as well as we should, but we're doing better. I think the education situation is terrible. And there, we talked about immigration. There's a perfect example of that, where we have punitive measures here where people who are here because of something their parents did wrong, these kids can't go to public schools to go to college. I think that the programs we have for education equality, we're fighting that out in the courts as we speak. So I think that we have to understand there's going to be battles fought in court. We have a judge coming up by the name of Boyle, who, from everything I've been able to read, has been very unfair to people of color. And I think Democrats have the obligation and opportunity to stand up and be counted in that regard.
Finally, Senator, one of the things that people have been looking for from Democrats is what most people saw from Newt Gingrich some years ago, and that's a contract.
saying, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do for you. There had been talk that Democrats were going to put something like that out.
For the first time in modern history, in fact, it may never have happened before, the Democrats are together. The House, the Senate, the DNC, the governors, and the mayors. I would hope that as the weeks and months move on, that the American people will understand we're trying to do the best we can with a Republican majority, and we're going to try to do it in a sense that doesn't show the infighting that has so dominated politics. Remember, the contract with America didn't come until October, a few weeks before the election. We have been rolling out our platform a plank at a time. We've done honest leadership, open government. We've done well with that. Real security is going to come out this week. We're going to have a domestic agenda this late spring or summer, and then we will have a document to give to the American public sometime this fall.
Last question. I know I probably won't get an answer, but you say you're pretty upfront. 08, who would you like to see lead the ticket?
Oh, there's no way to determine that because there really isn't. Iowa is a very strange place to start the elections. Mm-hmm. And then you move to New Hampshire. Even Nevada's going to be brought into there, or some western state going to be brought into the scheme of things. So it's really, we have great candidates, men, women. We even have people of color who are considering running for president.
Do you believe a female or a minority could win?
Yes.
I
honestly do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And that is without qualification.
Well, Senator, thank you so much. I had to ask a question, so I tried. Thanks for being with us.
Well, you know, Ed, it's tough to do that when I have seven senators running, and I have to work with them every day.
Indeed. If you'd like to hear an extended version of my interview with Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid or our interview with Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, visit our website at npr.org.